History remembers kings for their conquests, but hidden in the dusty archives of the Valerius lineage is a secret that defied nature itself. She was born a runt, beaten, and cast aside as a wolfless abomination. They called her useless. They had no idea they were poking a slumbering goddess. In the unforgiving winter of 1142, nestled deep within the jagged peaks of the northern reaches, the Red Creek Pack thrived on a simple, brutal philosophy. Strength was survival, and weakness was a sin punishable by death. For Genevieve, mere existence was a daily transgression against her pack. Born to a disgraced beta named Thomas, and a mother who had vanished into the cursed Weeping Woods on the night of her birth, Genevieve was an anomaly that disgusted the wolves of Red Creek. By her 18th winter, she had not experienced her first shift. She had no claws, no glowing eyes, and most damning of all, she lacked the distinct earthy scent of a lycanthrope. To the sensitive noses of her kin, she smelled of sterile ash and burnt ozone, a dead, empty scent that made their upper lips curl in involuntary snarls. Alpha Cedric, the cruel and fiercely territorial leader of Red Creek, had stripped Genevieve of her family name the moment her father died in a skirmish against border rogues. Instead of casting her out to freeze in the snow, Cedric kept her as a thrall, a living monument to his own supposed mercy, and a convenient punching bag for the pack's frustrations. Genevieve's days were a grueling loop of shattered bones and endless labor. She scrubbed the massive stone floors of the keep until her fingers bled, hauled freezing water from the lower wells, and endured the physical torment doled out by Cedric's spoiled daughter, Lady Isolde. Isolde, a striking golden wolf, who reveled in her status as the pack's jewel, took a perverse delight in reminding Genevieve of her unnatural inferiority. But Genevieve was not merely wolfless. Beneath her bruised, fragile human exterior, something was terribly wrong. Since childhood, she suffered from paralyzing bone aches and suffocating fevers that would spike in the dead of night. During the full moon, while the rest of the pack howled in ecstasy and shifted to run beneath the lunar light, Genevieve would writhe on the hay-covered floor of the drafty stables, her veins glowing with a faint, sickening silver luminescence that she desperately hid beneath dirt and heavy wool. The pack's aging healer had once muttered that the girl was corrupted, carrying the stale blood of a demon. Genevieve believed her. She believed she was broken a hollow vessel, waiting to crack. She had no inkling that the agonizing pressure in her chest wasn't a sickness, but a primordial cage. A cage built by her mother's dying magic to suppress a wolf lineage so ancient and terrifying that its mere scent would have provoked a continental war. The suffocating routine of Red Creek was shattered by the arrival of a royal herald. King Cassius Valerius, the Alpha King of the Unified Territories, was marching north. Cassius was a living legend, a hulking, ruthless warlord who had violently conquered the disparate packs 5 years prior to forge a single ironclad kingdom. He was currently on a brutal tour of his northern vassals, ostensibly to collect winter tithes and root out treason, but whispers in the courtyard suggested a secondary, more desperate motive. The Alpha King was searching for his destined mate. His inner beast was growing unstable, driven to the edge of madness by the lack of a Luna to anchor his tremendous power. Panic and vanity consumed the Red Creek Keep. Alpha Cedric ordered the fortress stripped and polished, draining their winter reserves to prepare a feast that would blind the king to the pack's dwindling numbers. Isolde, convinced that her golden fur and aristocratic bloodline made her the only logical choice for a queen, became a tyrant. She forced Genevieve to labor for 3 days without sleep, preparing lavish tapestries and mending silken gowns, when Genevieve, trembling from exhaustion and an incoming wave of her mysterious lunar fever, accidentally dropped a hot iron near Isolde's velvet cloak, the punishment was swift. Isolde's claws tore through Genevieve's shoulder, leaving three deep, ragged trenches of shredded flesh. "You will stay in the darkest corner of the cellar while the king is here," Isolde hissed, wiping her bloody claws on a linen cloth as Genevieve clamped a trembling hand over her wound. "If His Majesty catches even a whiff of your repulsive dead scent, I will personally tear your throat out and feed you to the hunting hounds. Do you understand me, Runt?" Genevieve nodded silently, swallowing the metallic taste of blood and despair. She dragged herself down to the freezing subterranean root cellar, her body burning with infection, and the strange humming pressure in her marrow, as the heavy oak doors of the keep slammed open above her, signaling the arrival of the Alpha King and his elite guard. Genevieve curled into a tight ball in the dark. She pressed her face against the freezing cobblestones, praying to whatever gods watched over broken things that the king would leave quickly. But deep within her chest, beneath the human frailties and the suppressive magic, the shadow of a massive chained beast stirred. It had smelled the king, and for the first time in 18 years, the chains began to crack. The great hall of Red Creek Keep groaned under the oppressive, suffocating aura of Alpha King Cassius Valerius. He sat at the center of the high table, like a storm perfectly contained within a man's body. Broad-shouldered, scarred, and radiating a dark, lethal authority, Cassius watched the festivities, with eyes the color of a bruised midnight sky. Beside him stood his second-in-command, Captain Alistair, hand resting casually on the pommel of a silver-forged broadsword. Alpha Cedric sweated profusely beside the king, his usual arrogance entirely evaporated under the crushing weight of the royal's sheer dominance. The local wolves kept their heads bowed, their inner beasts whimpering in submission. Lady Isolde, draped in emerald silk that left little to the imagination, leaned heavily toward the king, laughing loudly at jokes he had not made, and pouring his wine with overly familiar hands. Cassius ignored her entirely. His jaw was clenched, a migraine pulsing at his temples. The northern tour was proving to be a miserable failure. His wolf, a massive obsidian beast of royal blood, was pacing relentlessly in his mind, rejecting every female presented to them. He was running out of time. The feral madness that plagued unmatched kings was already fraying his control. But beyond his frustration, something else was distracting him. A faint, ghost-like scent, weaving through the heavy odors of roasted boar ale and cheap perfume. It was faint, like lightning, striking stone, sharp and metallic. It made his inner beast freeze its ears, swiveling toward the floorboards. Down in the kitchens, disaster had struck. The head cook, panicked by the sheer volume of meat required for the royal guard, dragged a feverish Genevieve from the root cellar, completely disregarding Isolde's threats. "I don't care if you bleed on the stones, girl, carry this tray to the lower tables," the cook bellowed, shoving a massive iron platter of roasted venison into Genevieve's weak hands. Genevieve's vision blurred. Her shoulder wound, throbbed violently, the pain sinking with the unnatural glowing heat expanding in her chest. Every step up the stone stairs felt like walking on shattered glass. Her bones were vibrating, a sickening, grinding sensation echoing in her ears. She stepped into the chaotic noise of the great hall, keeping her head ducked, desperately trying to remain invisible. She shuffled toward the squire's tables, her breath coming in ragged, shallow gasps. At the high table, Cassius suddenly stiffened. The scent hit him like a physical blow, stronger now, laced with fresh blood, and a suffocating aura of pure, unadulterated power that felt terrifyingly ancient. His midnight eyes snapped across the room, cutting through the crowd until they locked onto the frail, trembling servant girl, carrying a platter twice her size. His wolf let out a deafening, earth-shattering roar inside his mind. "Mate," the realization was so violent it nearly knocked the breath from his lungs. Before Cassius could rise, before he could even process why, his fated queen was dressed in rags and bleeding from a fresh claw mark. The heavy oak doors of the hall blew inward with an explosive splintering of wood. The winter wind howled into the keep, bringing with it the nauseating stench of rotting meat and wet fur. A dozen massive feral rogues, abominations, twisted by dark magic and starved for blood, poured into the hall. They had bypassed the outer guards, completely reeking of a coordinated assassination attempt. Panic erupted. Tables were flipped, and the screams of unarmed servants pierced the air. Cedric's warriors scrambled to shift, but the rogues were armed with crossbows strapped to their forearms, firing bolts laced with lethal liquid silver. "Protect the king," Alistair roared, drawing his blade as the royal guard formed a steel wall around the high table. Cassius didn't wait. He vaulted over the oak table, his body blurring, as he shifted midair into a monstrous pitch-black lichen. He tore into the first wave of assassins, snapping spines and crushing skulls with terrifying efficiency. But the hall was utter chaos. Genevieve was caught in the center of the slaughter. The iron tray slipped from her hands, crashing to the floor as a massive scarred rogue locked eyes with her. The beast lunged its jaws, snapping open to tear her frail human body to shreds. Time seemed to stop. Genevieve threw her hands up in a futile gesture of protection, bracing for the agonizing tear of teeth. But the bite never came. Instead, the burning pressure in Genevieve's chest, the cage built of old magic, and 18 years of suffering finally snapped. A sound like thunder echoing underwater violently erupted from her small frame. The rogue attacker was blasted backward, slammed into a stone pillar with enough force to shatter it. Suddenly, the scent of ash and ozone exploded, thick and suffocating, overriding the smell of blood, silver, and fear. Every wolf in the room, including the raging rogues and the battling Alpha King, froze in their tracks, paralyzed by a sudden instinctual terror. Genevieve collapsed to her knees, screaming as her human shell gave way. But she did not shift into a normal wolf. Brilliant, blinding violet light poured from her eyes and mouth. Her bones cracked and elongated, snapping into a form that hadn't been seen on the continent for a millennia. Silver-white fur, shimmering like liquid moonlight, erupted across her expanding muscles. She grew larger than Cedric, larger than Alistair, matching even the monstrous size of the Alpha King. When the blinding light faded, a colossal, majestic lichen, with crown-like ridges of bone along her brow, stood in the center of the ruined hall. The legendary First Blood Wolf, the mother of all packs, the massive silver beast let out a low, earth-shaking growl that forced every rogue, every Red Creek warrior, and even Alpha Cedric to their bellies, their chins pressed to the stone floor, in absolute, terrifying submission. Genevieve's glowing violet eyes swept the room, finally landing on the towering black form of King Cassius. The Alpha King, the most feared conqueror in the history of the realm, didn't bare his teeth. Slowly, deliberately, the massive black beast lowered his head, bent his front legs, and knelt before the useless runt of Red Creek. The silence in the great hall was absolute, deeper than the frozen depths of the northern reaches. It was a terrifying, suffocating quiet, broken only by the whimpers of the surviving rogues, who now clawed desperately at the stone floor, trying to drag themselves away from the blinding aura of the silver beast. Genevieve stood towering amidst the splintered wood and shattered stone, her massive silver-white chest heaving as she drew in the scent of the room. The agonizing fever that had plagued her for 18 years was gone, replaced by a thrumming oceanic current of absolute power. She was no longer the frail, broken servant of Red Creek. The ancient, suppressed spirit of the First Blood lineage had shattered its magical cage, and it demanded absolute reverence. King Cassius, still in his obsidian lichen form, remained bowed before her. His submission was not born of weakness, but of profound, instinctual recognition. The royal blood in his veins, tracing back to the first warlords of the Unified Territories, sang in harmony with the ancient magic radiating from Genevieve. To his inner beast, she was not just a mate. She was the sacred origin of their kind. Slowly the king lifted his massive dark head. His midnight eyes, usually swirling with ruthless aggression, were wide with a fierce, possessive awe. He let out a low, rumbling chuff, a sound of supreme adoration and fealty. Genevieve's violet eyes locked onto him. The connection snapped into place like a steel trap, a bond thicker than blood and older than the stone walls around them slammed into her consciousness. She could feel his mind, his awe, his feral protectiveness, and the desperate relief of a king who had finally found the anchor to his madness. She offered a soft, answering purr that vibrated through the foundation of the keep, granting him permission to rise. Cassius stood his massive black form, shifting back into his human state in a blur of motion. He did not care that he stood naked amidst the wreckage. His singular focus was the magnificent creature before him. Captain Alistair, recovering from the paralyzing shock of the First Blood's aura, swiftly tossed his king a heavy velvet cloak. Cassius caught it, draping it over his broad, scarred shoulders, without ever breaking eye contact with Genevieve. "My king," Alpha Cedric rasped his voice, trembling as he lay flat on his stomach, unable to lift his chin from the floor under Genevieve's oppressive dominance. "That thing is an abomination, a demon wearing a wolf's skin." Genevieve's massive head snapped toward Cedric. The air in the room temperature plummeted frost, instantly creeping across the spilled wine and pooling blood. She took a single step toward the Alpha who had tortured her for years. The stone cracked beneath her giant silver paws. Before she could strike, the remaining rogues, driven mad by the terror of her presence and the failure of their assassination mission, made a final suicidal gamble. The scarred rogue leader, clutching a silver-laced crossbow, aimed directly at Genevieve's glowing violet eyes. "Die, royal filth!" he screamed, his voice breaking with hysteria. He never pulled the trigger. Cassius moved with a speed that defied human comprehension. He did not shift. He simply crossed the distance in a heartbeat, his bare hands seizing the rogue's head and twisting it with a sickening, definitive crunch. The rogue slumped to the floor, lifeless. The remaining assassins scrambled for the ruined oak doors, but Cassius's elite royal guard, emboldened by their king and the miraculous appearance of the First Blood, fell upon them. It was not a battle. It was an execution. Within moments, the only sound left in the hall was the heavy dripping of blood. Genevieve watched the violence with a strange, detached calm. Her inner wolf was entirely in control, assessing threats and establishing her territory. When the last rogue fell, she turned her attention back to Cedric and his daughter. Isolde was huddled beneath a shattered feasting table, her emerald silk gown soaked in spilled ale, and her own terrified tears. The golden wolf, who had so proudly declared herself the future queen, was trembling violently, her hands clamped over her nose to block out the overwhelming, terrifying scent of ozone and ancient magic. Genevieve exhaled a cloud of silver mist and closed her eyes. The transition back to human form was not the agonizing, bone-breaking ordeal she had read about in the Red Creek archives. It was as fluid as water turning to ice. The blinding violet light swallowed her massive frame, and when it receded, she stood in the center of the hall. But she was not the battered, bruised runt who had entered the room. The magical cage that had suppressed her wolf had also stunted her human form. Now free of the dark magic, she stood tall and radiant. Her previously dull ash-brown hair had transformed into cascades of shimmering silver, falling perfectly down her back. The ragged trenches Isolde had torn into her shoulder were completely healed, leaving smooth, unblemished skin. Her eyes, once a fearful brown, now permanently held a ring of luminescent violet around the iris. Even clad in her blood-stained, ragged servant's dress, she exuded an undeniable, terrifying majesty. Cassius stepped forward, his eyes drinking in her human form. He stopped a hair's breadth away from her, his large, calloused hands gently reaching up to cup her face. The moment his skin touched hers, a shockwave of warmth and electricity flooded the cold hall, leaving a scent of blooming night jasmine and rain in its wake. "Mine," Cassius whispered his voice, a gravelly, raw command that left no room for argument. "My mate, my queen." Genevieve looked up into the eyes of the most feared man on the continent. She did not flinch. She did not cower. "And you are mine," she replied, her voice echoing with a melodic, dual-toned resonance that belonged to both the girl and the ancient beast within her. From beneath the table, Isolde let out a pathetic, stifled sob. "No, she's a slave. She's useless. You cannot take a runt as your Luna." Cassius didn't even look at the spoiled girl. His eyes remained locked on Genevieve, but his voice was a deadly weapon aimed at the room. "The penalty for speaking against the Alpha Queen is death." Alistair dragged the Red Creek Alpha and his daughter to the center of the hall. "They have a great deal to answer for." Captain Alistair moved with ruthless efficiency. Alongside two royal guards, he hauled a blubbering Isolde and a fiercely trembling Alpha Cedric to the center of the blood-stained Great Hall. They were forced to their knees before Cassius and Genevieve. The remaining Red Creek wolves remained bowed in the shadows, none daring to intervene on behalf of their cruel leaders. They could feel the shift in the world's axis. The ancient gods of their kind had returned in the form of the silver-haired girl they had treated as dirt. Cassius kept one arm securely wrapped around Genevieve's waist, anchoring his volatile wolf with her physical presence. "You harbored the first blood lineage in your keep?" Cassius addressed Cedric, his tone dangerously soft. "You subjected the most sacred bloodline of our species to slavery, torture, and starvation. I should peel your skin from your flesh and let the winter crows feast on your eyes." Cedric swallowed hard, his face pale and slick with sweat. "Your Majesty, I swear upon the old gods, I didn't know her mother was a stray, a wandering rogue who died in childbirth. The girl had no wolf. She had no scent. How could I have known she was of the ancient house of Valois?" Genevieve stiffened. The name struck a chord deep within her inherited memories. The House of Valois was not a myth. They were the original rulers of the lycanthrope world, believed to have been wiped out centuries ago during the Great Purge, led by the ambitious Duke Montgomery of the Southern Isles. "You lie." Genevieve spoke, her dual-toned voice slicing through the heavy air. The power behind her words forced Cedric's head down his forehead, cracking against the stone floor. "My mother did not die in childbirth. I remember her face. I remember her running, Cassius's grip on her waist tightened. He looked down at her, a silent question in his eyes. Genevieve closed her violet eyes, letting the ancient magic unlock the memories that her mother's spell had buried alongside her wolf. She was fleeing. Genevieve continued opening her eyes to glare at Cedric. She was fleeing from a pack of mercenaries, but they didn't catch her. You did. You found her bleeding in the Weeping Woods. She begged you for sanctuary for her child. Instead, you took her silver amulet, the heirloom of House Valois, and left her to bleed to death in the snow. Then you placed a binding curse on me, a dark magic you bought from the witches of the Eastern Steppes, so that no one would ever sense my bloodline, allowing you to keep the Valois amulet without drawing the attention of the royal court. The hall erupted in horrified gasps. To deal in dark witch magic was treason of the highest order, punishable by immediate execution. Is this true? Cassius roared his voice, shaking the heavy iron chandeliers above. It was for the pack, Cedric shrieked desperately, trying to scramble backward as Alistair drew his sword. The Valois amulet brought wealth. The winter would have starved us. I did what I had to do for Red Creek. You did it for your own greed, Genevieve said coldly. She stepped out of Cassius's embrace, walking slowly toward the groveling Alpha. You fed your vanity while your people starved. You allowed your daughter to maim and abuse those she deemed beneath her. She turned her piercing gaze to Isolde. You are stripped of your title, Isolde. You will live the rest of your days scrubbing the floors of the keep. You thought you would rule, bearing the very rags you forced me to wear. And if you raise a hand to another soul, I will let the hounds have you. Isolde wailed, collapsing onto the stones, but the royal guards roughly hauled her away toward the servants' quarters. Genevieve then looked down at Cedric. As for you, treason against the crown and the murder of a Valois noble demands only one price. She didn't need to give the order. Cassius stepped forward, his eyes entirely black as his lichen surged to the surface. By the authority of the Alpha King, and in the name of the First Blood Queen, House Red Creek is dissolved. Your lands belong to the crown. Your life belongs to the dirt. With a swift, brutal arc of his broad sword, Cassius severed Cedric's head from his shoulders. The tyrant of Red Creek fell, his reign of cruelty ended in a pool of his own blood. The surviving members of the Red Creek Pack, realizing they were suddenly without an alpha and entirely at the mercy of the king, pressed themselves lower to the ground, waiting for the executioner's blade to fall upon them all. But Genevieve raised her hand. A wave of warm, soothing magic washed over the terrified wolves, lifting the oppressive aura of dominance. Rise, she commanded gently. The wolves hesitated, before slowly getting to their feet, staring at her with reverence. Red Creek is no more. From this day forward, you are the wards of the royal crown. You will not starve. You will not be beaten for weakness. We will rebuild this fortress not as a monument to cruelty, but as a sanctuary for all those who have been cast aside. Cassius sheathed his bloodied sword and walked back to her side. He dropped to one knee amidst the carnage, taking her delicate, unblemished hand in his massive one. He pressed his lips to her knuckles. Long live the queen! Cassius declared his voice, echoing with absolute devotion. Long live the queen! Captain Alistair and the royal guards roared in unison, slamming the hilts of their swords against their armored chests. The wolves of the fallen pack joined the cry, their voices rising in a triumphant howl that shattered the winter silence. Genevieve, the ash-scented runt who had been deemed useless, looked out over her new kingdom. She felt the heavy, comforting presence of the Alpha King at her side, her fated mate, and the thrum of the ancient, unstoppable beast within her. The age of cruelty was over. The era of the first blood had begun. Did the epic tale of the first blood wolf awaken your inner beast? If you were captivated by Genevieve's breathtaking rise from a mistreated wolfless runt to the most powerful and revered Luna in the realm, do not let this story fade into the shadows. Smash that like button. Share this epic medieval werewolf romance with your pack, and subscribe to our channel for more thrilling dramas, hidden powers, and destined mates. Ring the bell so you never miss a howl in the night.